So the Lucy Faithfull Foundation is a child protection charity, been operating since 1992. Our original work back in the early 90s and mid-90s was working with perpetrators of sexual abuse as well as child victims and families. And since 2002, with support from the Home Office in particular and Ministry of Justice, we've been developing a number of prevention strands of our work, taking the learning we've done from working with sex offenders to apply it to all sorts of personal circumstances so that we can ultimately, every member of society can play their part in preventing child sexual abuse.
And Stop It Now is one of those programmes that you've developed, isn't it?
And Stop It Now is a campaigning programme, but also with a confidential helpline attached to it. And this is based in Surrey. So we're based in Epsom in Surrey. And so I've left this morning 6 operators on phone calls to members of the public up and down the country. And we'll deal by the end of today, we'll have had 60 or 70 different callers calling in all sorts of circumstances, whether it's to do with their own concerns about their own behaviour online or offline, or it may be concerns about a loved one, a husband or a dad or a brother, or indeed concerns about children in the home, what my children sexually are doing with the neighbours next door or on the internet. So those are the practical things we're dealing with every day. And as I say, I'll expect by the close of play tonight to have 60 or 70 calls that we've handled.
That's quite a wide range of subjects that you're dealing with, from if you're worried about what your child's doing to you're worried that someone you love or someone you know might be a perpetrator of sexual abuse.
Yes.
How are these calls then handled?
Okay, so every call has to be handled on its own merits. But to be clear, the staff come from a range of backgrounds handling those calls. So many of them are from probation backgrounds. We have 3 ex-police officers on the helpline, a couple of social workers, a couple of health workers, a couple of people working in the teaching environment, Samaritan's helpline worker, a child line worker. So we have people that bring all those backgrounds and those skills together. And then we can then pass calls from each other, so that if people need a particular expertise, then we can pass that expertise on to another operator. And of course, because Lucy Faithfull Foundation has been working in an expert capacity to prevent child sexual abuse since the 90s, then if we need to contact a colleague from across the country somewhere with a particular aspect of expertise in helping children recover from sexual abuse, or working directly with say perpetrators of sexual abuse with learning difficulties, then we can employ that expertise on the phone call. Probably not today, but probably tomorrow or the next day.
And how many calls? I know you touched on it briefly just now, but how many calls are you seeing in a day, or maybe in a week?
So okay, in a day, I would. So it's interesting. The calls kind of go in peaks and troughs. I would expect Christmas time, Easter time, call volumes reduce, partly because people's access to phones and privacy is more limited because people are on holiday and kids are at home. But I would expect that we would expect today 50, 60, 70 calls by the end of today. Friday would be a slightly smaller number, is the general trend. Over a year, what's that going to look like? Probably 6,000, 7,000 calls at the end of the year that we'll have taken from people. But the value of each call is the people calling are in a position to protect children. And we're a child protection charity. If we can help members of the public protect children from sexual abuse, then that's the job that we want to be doing.
Because I know that you say that child sexual abuse is preventable.
Yes.
So if you have someone, say, in a hypothetical situation calling up and saying, I'm worried I'm going to commit an offence,
yep,
what would your next or your immediate steps be with regards to that?
Okay, so just bear in mind, we don't know who these people are. At the front end of the call, we advise people, if we know who you are, you give us identifying information about yourself or about a child at risk, we will pass that information on. So that's the base on which we operate, because we want people to confidently call us and know that they're in control of what happens next, not us. If they give us those details, then we will pass them on and make no bones about it, and we will be happy to do that. if that serves the needs of child protection. But if someone's calling saying I'm worried about myself and my behaviour, then we want to explore what is it that's been troubling you, how long has it been troubling you for, is there a particular child that you do you think you're a risk to, that you're thinking about, do you have access to the child, is this a child at home or a neighbour's child, is it a child that you're thinking about that you've seen in a park or in a school. So we'll try and understand the very practical circumstances and how that risk is growing, or have they managed it for a period of time. So we want to endorse their continued management of it. If, frankly, the risk is very close kind of proximity and seems to be imminent, we would advise people to be, for example, removing themselves from the home so they're not in a position to be the risk and get separate help. Or we'd ask people, look, can you go and maybe live with your parents for a couple of days? And when you get there today, can you give us a call to say you're there? And if you can you talk to your parents just about something of the circumstances as to why you've moved out? And maybe you can put your parents in touch with us so that we can talk to your parents as well. So every case has to be handled differently, but we're very clear. We're a child protection charity and we want people to play their part in protecting children, including those who represent the risk. And it is very clear from the volumes we're getting that people are recognising the risk in themselves and people are desperately wanting some help with that. Now, I'm not saying that every sex offender wants help, but if people do, then surely as a societal service, then we can provide that help confidentially, which means that children are safer tomorrow than they were going to be.
Do you think social media plays a role in the amount of calls that you're receiving?
I look, there's no doubt in my mind at all social media plays a part. What we've seen in the Indecent Images deterrence campaign, clearly these are indecent images viewing is happening online. So the people are doing that viewing are using media and social media in a way differently than when I was a boy. It's partly the online environment that's facilitating the use of illegal images and the distribution of these images. So yes, we're in touch with far more people because social media is getting messages to them, which is why in the current campaign that we're launching, that not only are we using conventional media to get messages out to the broadest public, but we're also engaging in social media environments to make sure that we kind of saturate the environment with messages about the illegal nature of sexual images of children online, about the harm that's done to children, that maybe many people don't realise, the harm that children suffer from being exposed to abuse that prompts the images in the first place, but also to remind people who are viewing those images, not only is it illegal, there are dire consequences if you get caught for it, but we can help you to stop. So for goodness sake, take a breath, give us a call, and we can help you to stop and to stay stopped.
I've spoken to so many parents and teachers over the last few years who are worried about the rate that social media is impacting on children. What advice do you have for them? Not necessarily because something's already happened to a child, but they're worried about it happening in the future.
Well, look, a number of things. I think none of us can afford for the technology to be too daunting. So we have to personally choose to get involved in it. We have to understand how it works, including potentially getting our children to explain to us how it works, so that in a way the how the technology works is not a barrier. We need to understand how our children are using technology. Ideally, get important messages in at an early stage, because it's frankly to give children some messages about being careful online when they're 11, 12, 13 is probably missing the boat. We need to kind of get messages in 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 so that we're layering those messages and then giving our children the confidence and skills to navigate safely and to talk to us about when things are a trouble. We do talk to parents about talking to other parents so that this is a concern that parents share, not to magnify it, but to understand what our children's friends are doing online, talking to the other mums and dads about that, and then sharing good ideas that we've got about how we're worrying properly, what steps, what cautions we're taking, but also how we're skilling up our children to make wise decisions while they're online. So I do think it's keeping a bit of a steady ship, not getting too alarmed about it, but to take the risk seriously, and to be happy to have conversations with our kids. It's not as a one-off, but to have conversations kind of like against news stories that are happening or whatever it may be, that it just becomes a natural part of everyday life. I'm on a number of WhatsApp groups with my children, and engage in social media to the extent that I understand how some aspects of it work. I'm not going to pretend I'm an expert. My children are, but so I can learn from them though, and not let the technology itself be the barrier to the conversation.
With regards to the charity, how is it funded?
Look, various ways that we're funded, and we clearly, I'm going to say, we never have enough funding, and that's true. There's always more we can do. So we get for the helpline right now a funding grant, and have done so since 2002 from the Ministry of Justice. The Home Office last year, because they saw the use we were being to reducing the volume seemingly of people viewing images, indecent images online, and because we were missing calls, we run out of capacity. The Home Office have given us a grant for last year and this year, which is brilliant. So we get those kind of grants. We do fee earning work, so we do reports for family courts. So our expert report writers get involved with sex offenders, with families, with non-offending partners. So we do reports. So that there's a fee base for that report. We get a number of grants. So we get grants for doing work with young people with harmful sexual behaviour from a number of grant-making bodies. We do some international work, so we get grants for that international work for grant-making bodies. And finally, some people pay for the service. If someone gets arrested today for possessing indecent images of children and they're likely to see a court in 6, 9, 12 months' time, then they can contact us by the Stopping Now helpline. They can go on a programme of education to understand not only how they came to do what they did, but how they can stop. And those perpetrators of online abuse, they will pay for coming on that course. So and those courses are run up and down the country. So we have this mixed model of funding: grants, government bodies paying for us, and perpetrators themselves paying for services that we provide. So the new campaign is the Indecent Images Deterrence Campaign. So that's what we're launching today, Thursday, across Surrey, Sussex, Kent and Thames Valley. The campaign is drawing attention to the scale of the problem of people viewing indecent images of children online. But the fact that there is hope that we are turning the tide a little, because over the last 12 months, what we've seen is over 1,000 people from Surrey contacting that Stop It Now, either through our helpline or the Get Help website, for help to manage their own online sexual behaviour, or indeed to help a partner or loved one manage their online sexual behaviour. So I guess it's simply to say to the members of the public, this is a real problem. It's happening at scale. It's in too many households across Surrey for us to ignore it. Children are harmed because these images exist and people are viewing them, and more children are being abused to supply that appalling online habit. So we need everyone to take it seriously. Parents, carers, men, women across the county, to make sure that they are part of the solution, not to turn a blind eye, not to assume that actually this is just kind of kiddie porn. It's all right. It's a bit smutty, but we're uncomfortable, but it's not a problem. It is a problem. Children are seriously harmed across the world to satisfy this demand, and we need all of us to be part of the solution.
And, you know, 1,000, that sounds like a lot. Where is Surrey in relation to other counties in the country?
Look, right now, my understanding would be, and we've looked at the relative to populations, Surrey is in touch with us probably proportionately rather more than many other parts of the country. Now, so does that tell me that we've got, there's a bigger problem in Surrey? It doesn't, to me, that doesn't mean that. Because we're Surrey-based, then we have a bigger, there's a greater acknowledgement of our existence in Surrey than probably in Tyneside or Merseyside. So, but we also didn't want to ignore the fact that viewing indecent images of children continues to be a problem in Surrey as anywhere else. Yes, we've had over a thousand people in touch with us last year. That hasn't dealt with the whole of the problem. We still need to pay attention to it. And yes, we also then need to go to Merseyside and Tyneside and other places to make sure they're aware of Stop It Now, they're aware aware of the online services, and that they play their part in reducing the overall volume of people viewing sexual images online.
Okay, so do you want to give a website plug or a phone number plug for people who want to get in contact?
Yeah. So if anyone's worried about their own sexual behaviour online regarding children, or worried about a loved one, where a partner or a parent or indeed a child or young person, then for goodness sake, please phone the Stop It Now confidential helpline on 0808 1000 900. That's 0808 1000 900. And you can talk confidentially to a professional. And our website is Stop It Now, Get Help. And if you do a Google search, then you'll find all the resources you need.
Lovely. Thank you so much.